I want to talk about a title that has come to me over time where it says, don't throw away your confidence. You know, a lot of us, we throw away our confidence by, you know, putting in, what it means is that we rely on something or we depend or we trust on things. We have expectations. And when that happens, when we throw it, let me share with you first the scripture, because then you'll understand why this is so important to me and what I had picked up from it for myself. It was in Hebrews 10 that I saw this, and God so stirred me, because there's so many times we have choices before us every day. Would I be correct about that? Every day we have a choice, we have a decision to make. And this verse really popped out, and I went, you know, this is so true, God. This is so true. Hebrews 10:35 says, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Because sometimes we don't remember the great reward by putting our confidence in the Lord. We forget those things. Now, the word confident, another word that you can put there, is the word hope. And we know that. We've heard that. Put your hope in God. You know, He has a hope in the future for you. We hear it all the time. But when you put your hope in someone or something, it means that you depend on, you rely on that someone or that something to deliver you, to make you feel happy, to make you feel safe, to love you. So the question you need to ask yourself all evening here is that what and where do you put your confidence in? We sometimes put our confidence in ourselves, in our abilities to fix things, in our strength, in our talents and giftings. We look within ourselves to rationalize and understand what we go through, because we all go through certain difficulties and trials and just situations in life. But when we go through them, where do we put our hope? Where do we fix our eyes onto? Sometimes we put our confidence, we depend on our possessions to make us feel worthy and to make us feel like we're someone and significant. Sometimes we put our confidence in men and women. But the end result of that, which I've discovered for myself, is usually, because these are temporary things, the Bible calls them transient things. They are unsettled, unstable. They are short-lived, fleeting. So when we put our confidence in those things, it usually brings us to an end. There is a result to that, and usually it brings you to a place of disappointments. Has anybody here ever had any disappointments? Okay, that was only 2-3 hands. I'm concerned. Thank you. Because we all have disappointments. And disappointment leads to sometimes a deep hurt and a wound. And if it's not put in check, and if we're not really processing that very well, what happens is it brings us to a place of resentment and bitterness. But it doesn't just stop there. I think if you were to look in your life and a disappointment started happening because you had put your hope and your confidence in something, and it just didn't happen. It just, your expectation just fell through the floor, and all of a sudden this pain and this hurt and this disappointment, which is just a feeling of dissatisfaction with the situation or with the someone. So when we look at that and we wonder, you know, why did that happen? So there's usually resentment that comes in, a low-lying sense of, you know, why did this happen? And then the bitterness that sets in after a while, where we become critical and judgmental and you know, we're just negative and we're untrusting, and it just brings us to a place of doubt. We start doubting ourselves, doubting our friends, doubting the possibility of ever getting it right. And then if that's not bad enough, it usually brings us to a place of fear. See, this is where, when we get ensnared with fears, we fear getting disappointed again. So what we put up walls. You know, we fear that we're going to be rejected or abandoned again. So what do? We just put facades, and we just don't let people in, and we close ourselves down. We just shut down. And it's really not a good place to be. When disappointments are, it's chaos. You know, there's a lot of destruction there. So we need to be careful. But I want to talk about what hope really is. When we look to the scriptures, genuine hope is not wishful thinking. It's not like what the world says, it's a feeling that what is wanted will happen. But there's no basis, no foundation for that. Everything is so up and down. Nothing's settled. Do you agree? There's nothing settled in this world. And it's so scary at times. And if you look at Psalm 107, they said, people who walk around, they wander around in a desert. There's a deserted road without finding an inhabited city. That means if you look at other scriptures, they can't settle. There's no place where they can settle and feel safe. But they get hungry, they get thirsty, and they began to lose hope. See, this is what happens when we cast and throw our confidence into things that are temporary, things that are fleeting and short-lived. And when we put our hope in ourselves and in other people, in our possession and things. But when we start looking to God, when we put our hope into the God of the Bible, we understand that it means this, that we anticipate a favorable outcome under God's direction. Now, how can we trust that? Well, we can trust that because of his faithfulness, his mercy, and love. Now, we just heard this wonderful testimony. Now, if that did not depict God's faithfulness, mercy, and love, that's the power of God. That is his heart. And when we put our confident trust in the Lord, this is what he says in Psalm 107. He says, when you cry out in distress, he rescues you from your troubles. That's what he says. When you put your confidence in God and you're confident, he will rescue you from your trouble. He will lead you on the road that went straight to an inhabited city, a place where you can settle. He says he gave plenty to drink to those who were thirsty, and he filled those who were hungry with good food. That means he satisfied them. I do remember that before I came to the Lord, I threw away my confidence. I depended. I trusted on things that were temporary. I knew no better. I knew no better. I didn't understand this hope, this confident trust in the Lord. So I just went. I was desperate. I was alone. I was insecure. I felt unsafe. So I searched. I searched for someone and something that I could put my trust in, someone that I could put my confidence in. And it led me, as I said, to discouragement, to disappointments, to a low-lying sadness. Have you woken up with just that low-lying sadness? I have. And you just don't know what to do, and there's nothing. Whatever you do, whatever, read a book or go and see friends, it's still there. And so I understood that there was something that I needed to learn. And even in my Christian walk, when I take my eyes off of God and I threw my confidence to other things, what happens is that discouragement comes in and that despair. And if I'm not keeping a check on it, I can go down that road of resentment and bitterness. So it always led me down that path and to a place where I felt hopeless. I want to give you an example how I did it and how sometimes I continue doing it and how God is lovingly bringing me back to that place. I put my confidence in men for such a long time that by the time I came to the Lord, I was really pretty much embittered, and there's really no one that I wanted to confide or to trust in. But I do remember it as a very young girl, my father left, and I put my confidence in the hope that he would come back to his family. And I waited for so long, but what he did is he went to another family and did not come back to us. I remember how I was crushed because I felt he was my daddy. He was my father. And I put all of my eggs in that basket, and I thought, well, as soon as dad comes home, I'm going to be okay. But he never came home. And I remember that sense of brokenness. I remember that I threw away my confidence in my mom. I trusted her. I depended on her to keep me safe and to rescue me, because for years I was sexually abused. I had people come in and I would say, how come she can't see this? Why? And where are you? And so I would always throw away my confidence and say, oh, I know she's going to get it the next time. She's going to hear something the next time. She's going to figure it out the next time. And all the time, and I would cast my confidence towards my brothers and my sisters, and I would rely on them to figure it out and to come and to defend for me and to keep me safe. But again, I found myself in a place of brokenness. Psalm 118 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in a man. Then I remember I turned and put my confidence in myself. I put my confidence in the way I looked and the way I performed, the way my talents and my giftings. I put a lot of stock in there to find my worth, to find my significance, to find who I was. And I found again, one more time, that things didn't work out as I thought it would. My expectations fell down to the floor because even though I tried, and even though I wore the right clothes and I did the right things, I still was left empty. And I felt again embittered and broken. The pain was so great that even though I went through all that, I still didn't get the message. I still didn't get this whole thing. Because you see, God was not in my life at this point. So I threw away my confidence to the things that I had. I figured, okay, I'm going to accumulate. You know, I'm going to have a car. I'm going to have an apartment. I'm going to have the best of the best. I was in debt. I mean, every credit card was to the max. But who cared? Nobody knew it. I did. I was a mess. And I threw away my confidence to that. I went to drugs. I went to alcohol. I went to all of those places because, you see, I was depending on it. I was trusting something that was temporary and fleeting. But again, once again, I found myself embittered with life and feeling hopeless. I didn't think anything would change, so I threw again my confidence into myself again. You're saying, wow, man, is she ever hard-headed? Is she ever stubborn? Why didn't she get it? Why didn't she just stop? But you know, the one thing that really, for me, I want to really bring home to you today is at the age of 15, I had a chance to stop throwing away my confidence towards temporary fixes, because that's what it is temporary. Anything apart from God is going to be temporary. I came face to face with the God of hope. I came face to face with his bigness and his power. Remember what I said, what hope is, a favorable outcome under God's direction. I refused. I refuse. I thought I knew better. Isaiah 5:21 says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. Those, after that day, those were the worst days of my life. I got raped. I gave myself away to man after man. I went into drugs, alcohol. I did all those things because at this particular moment, I was so beyond myself. Psalm 107 says, and this really depicts what happens when we throw away our confidence to those things that really have no measure. They have no foundation. He says, 107, he says, fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquity, were afflicted. I could have chosen that path of finally finding and putting my confident trust in the Lord. Someone who had a foundation, someone who was a refuge, someone who was unmoving and unstoppable. And I'm understanding that at this particular time in my life, when I became 25 and I came face to face with the woman in the mirror, I realized that I missed the message. After all of those years of wasting my time and pursuing things that were empty, I looked to the one who saved me. I looked to God, and at this particular moment, this is what he did. And again, I'm coming out of Psalm 107. It says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. I was troubled. Now, on the outside, it didn't look trouble. You got to understand, we play the part, don't we? We do it very well. I had everything you can think of. I looked successful on the outside, but inside, there was nothing left. Inside, I was crushed. So I cried unto the Lord in my trouble, and he saved me out of my distress. He sent his word and healed me and delivered them from their destruction. You see, it was my destruction. It was my choices to throw away my confidence. It was my decision in my, I have to say, really, truly, in my arrogance and thinking that I can fix it, when the God of eternity could have done a better job than me. Now, did that mean that after I came to the Lord, I had no more disappointments? No, that's not true, because that's part of our life. We need to understand that when we are going through troubles, are you going through troubles today? Are you going through crisis, difficulties, and you just don't know what to do? Well, I'm here to tell you, do not throw your confidence to things that are movable. things that are temporary, things that are short-lived or fleeting. You want to get out of your trouble. You don't want to go into that path of disappointment, bitterness, and hurt and fear. Then you must make that choice, as I made that choice, as I make that choice every day, not to waver in that trust. And there are times my heart just wants to betray me over and over again, and I want to go back to what I believed was the best thing. To find myself at that place and say, oh God, I got my eyes fixed on these things and I trusted these things and I've already gone down this road before. But once again, in his faithfulness and mercy and love, he picks me up and says, go forward, daughter. Go forward. I started realizing that that's where my strength came from. You know, and you ask yourself, and you want to ask me why? Because God is sovereign. Because God is forever on his throne. He is my hope, but not only that, I do believe he delivers me when I throw my confidence towards him and I trust him for the end result and I put down and surrender my expectations. I'm understanding that he doesn't grow weary on me. Have you ever seen someone not grow weary on you when in trouble? I'm telling you, most people take a hike. Okay, I've had enough. I've done my job. I'm leaving. But see, God never does that. He stays that. He stays there. So I started making choices to throw my confidence in Christ and Christ alone. Hebrews 6 says this, this hope we have is an anchor to your soul. It is both sure and steadfast. As time went on, I started realizing it. Every day, every situation, when I fixed my eyes upon his promises, when my disappointments would come because I got my eyes off of God, he would realign me and he would say, remember the great reward this brings you when you put your confidence in me. And what is those great rewards? Many of us seek it and we cannot find it. It's peace. We're looking for joy. We're looking for a sense of rest. We're looking for that sense of protection. But beloved, there is absolutely nothing and no one in this world that can compare to the God of eternity. He is a God that never fails and will never, ever walk away. He says, I will not leave you orphan. When you call, I will come. So I call. That is what I do best. I call. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Because I do at times still look to those things that are temporary. And the more I got to know him, the more I realized that he was unchanging and unstoppable. I look back in my life. I start looking back at my parents and my siblings. And I started looking back at my friends and the things that I amassed in my life. And I started realizing, hey, those were stoppable things. Those were movable things. And I started switching my confidence to the things that do not move, the things that are sure. I want you to stand tonight. Not a very long message tonight, was it? And you thought I was going to be here for 2 hours. Now, I felt God had a word for you. That word is that some of us here, and maybe all of us, have done it in one way, shape, or form. Some of us are living up in a place of disappointment right now, and you haven't touched the bitterness yet. But if you don't deal with your disappointment going back to God, you will develop bitterness and resentment. And if you don't deal with that again, what's going to happen is you're going to start doubting not only the people around you, but you're going to start doubting God. And it might bring you to a state of unbelief. Let me tell you, God doesn't mind you asking questions. He has gone through a lot of doubters. In the Bible, you see many people. You got Thomas, you got Peter, you got many people. So he's not afraid of your questions. But he is afraid, not afraid, but you know, the state of unbelief makes you that you have the answer. Pastor P gives you the word. He pours out his heart to you. This church is there as a resource. But how many times do we turn away from this very resource and we cast and throw our confidence elsewhere? To find ourselves broken, coming back through these doors, asking them to help us one more time. When I do know that, yes, they're a mere man and a mere woman who love God, but they show you the one thing, an unwavering trust in the Lord God Almighty. Amen. They have modeled this to you. So some of you this evening, as I was talking, realize that while I was talking, that you have thrown away your confidence. I mean, you've depended, you've trusted, you've relied on, you've expected something, and all you've had in return is pain. So now you're in a state of pain and hurt and great disillusionment. You might be even in a place where the discouragement is so thick that despair is set in. Can things change? But you have a choice to make tonight. Don't be foolish like I was when I was 15. I ignored the call because I thought that I knew better. I had something to prove, and the cost was great. And sometimes the cost is still great when I refuse what's right before me, the Word of God, His presence, the people of God. Some of you tonight have embraced Christ. You have accepted Jesus, but you continue to throw away your confidence apart from Him. Maybe you find yourself in a place of doubt and unbelief, even in the church. And God forbid that you will mention it to anyone because you got to keep the appearance. But the question is when you are there, you will start to waver. And if you start to waver, that means you might start compromising with your faith. And if you start permitting things that come into your life, they will draw from you. And you will throw away your confidence, and you will not remember the reward that will come to you when you put your confident trust in the Lord. Like I said, the end result is really not good. So you have a choice today. I believe as God is asking all those that have called out to God, who say and profess that their hope is in God, but you're finding yourself today, you know when I was speaking, the Holy Spirit was touching you, and you were saying, oh my God, I have been throwing away my confidence elsewhere. I've been relying on so-and-so to keep me going. I've been depending on this person. And I've just found myself disappointed and really angry. Maybe even angry at the God factor, even the God things. If this is you today, you need to make a choice to draw that line. You need to one more time fix your eyes upon God and His faithfulness to get you through that. Whatever you're going through, no matter what happens, you have to make a choice. The scripture says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, full of assurance of faith. He spoke just before about having a wholehearted commitment to God. Beloved, I see so many young, old, middle-aged, no matter what, because they profess one thing, but they throw away their confidence elsewhere. They find their walk very shaky. They're not confident. The rest of the scripture says, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. He says, there's a time now where you have to acknowledge, God, I've done this. There's a time now where you have to confess. That means you agree with God. Yes, Lord. For those who do not know God, and you know, you understand that you have put your hope in other things and you are broken today, beloved, there is a place for healing for you. But if you have known God and you have continually put your trust elsewhere, I know where that leads you because I've been there myself. You're not sure about the God thing anymore. He says, 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. When we cast our hope, we stop losing that ability to believe that. If that is you tonight, you must come quickly to the altar. You must come and say, God, I acknowledge I've done this, and I confess this for what it is. God, I'm in trouble. I need You. I need You as my anchor, steadfast and sure. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor P to come. We're going to listen to some songs. And as we listen, You know, God is such a wonderful God. He's crazy in love with us. And he will do everything to come and get us where we are. But he asks you one thing, is to respond to his love tonight. To be honest and truthful. Where are you in your walk with God? Do you have that confident trust? Do you understand that he is faithful? Have you relied on other things? And if you have, you find yourself bitter tonight, then come, because this will be the place for healing, restoration, and for God to set you free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Those of you who responded, would you raise your hands to God Most High? Raise both your hands as a sign of surrender to him. And from your heart, from your gut, would you pray with me tonight? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you would speak so directly to my need. I'm sorry for doing things on my own, putting my confidence in myself, my own decisions, my own dreams, my own leadings. I don't want to do that anymore. It's left me nowhere. It's brought me pain, disappointment. So tonight, I put my confidence in you. Would you come, cleanse me, fill me. Fill me with your spirit and begin to lead me and guide me into your plan, your destiny for my life. From this moment on, I belong to you. All that I am, my past, my present, my future, it's all in your hands. Heal me of all my past disappointments, backsliding, and help me from this moment on to glorify your name. I thank you that you're going to be with me and that you've come to help me. Thank you tonight that I am free now to live for you. In Jesus' name, you're going to help me. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I trust you, Lord. And I thank you. Amen. Amen. Give him thanks tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God. He absolutely loves you. His love doesn't waver. It doesn't change. Even when you and I mess up, he doesn't leave us. Why would he leave us when we need him the most? Are you with me? Why would he leave us when we need him the most? When we mess up, when we just go the wrong way? He doesn't give up on us. He just keeps calling us. He keeps pursuing us. He keeps wooing us and saying, come this way. Here I am. Come to me. You'll hear that little voice on the inside saying, this is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. Come to me. That's his love reaching out for you, pursuing you, just bringing you back, because he refuses to let the devil destroy you. He also refuses to let you and I self-destruct. So guess what he does? When you and I come to him every day and say, God, guide me today. Thank you for yesterday. But today I need you. You know what he does? By his spirit, he begins to come and lead you and guide you and say, this is the way. Go this way. Oh, no, don't do that. There ain't nothing there. You know that. Don't go there. He'll just begin to tell you, don't go there. Don't touch that. Don't even pick up that phone. Don't even pick up that phone. Don't even answer that call. Don't even go on the computer. Don't go to that site. No, just get off the computer. Just go to your Bible. Go to prayer. Get out of here. Get out of that room. Get out of that place. He'll just start talking to you like that. He'll talk to you like that. And then he's going to keep talking to you through the Word of God, through the Scriptures. See, he's going to direct you. He's going to lead you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to say, good job. You're doing all right. I'm with you. I'm proud of you. God will do that, you know. He'll even tell you, I like being with you. Not only that, he'll even let you feel his presence so that you know that this is not just a religion, but it's a relationship, and that he's there. It's amazing. Sometimes I've been in the subway, in the train, and all of a sudden I'll feel God's presence. And it's like the Lord just saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm here. If you want that and more, it's all available to you. Intimacy with God. So that you'll know you're not alone. Amen? Thank God for that word, Pastor Mona. Timely word.
I want to tell you the best at the end. God said, tell them the rest of that story. Hebrews 10:35 says, do not throw away. Don't throw away the confident trust you have in the Lord. Remember the reward. But then he says this, and I believe this is what he's telling you tonight. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. When you look at the word endurance, he says the ability or strength to continue despite fatigue, despite stress, despite disillusionment, despite anger, despite. So he's asking you, patient endurance is what you need now. Stay the course. Keep your eyes on him, and he will get you through. Amen. He did it for me. He will do it for you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. How many here at the front, this is your first time responding like this to the front of this church? You've never done anything like this before? It's okay. Raise it real high. It's okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Awesome. Those of you who raised your hand, please stay for just a moment. We have some of our prayer partners that we just want to minister to you before you go, talk to you, pray with you. But everyone else, it's really early, so we're going to continue to worship. We're going to rejoice. We're going to give God praise and thanks. If you're coming back to the Lord tonight, if maybe you drifted away from the Lord and you're coming back to Christ, stay in the front as well. Stay here with us and let us talk to you and minister to you. Amen. The Lord bless you tonight. Let's go rejoicing in the Lord. Mm-hmm.